Well, we are gathered tonight. This is the Occult Crimes, Satanic Crimes Training Course, Shatter the Darkness. It's like a university class. A little bit of music behind us right now. There's power in the name of Jesus. May extraordinary power fall for all those who are victims. May God show great power. That's what this week number five is all about. Gathering information from God-given sources, verification. I want you to know that great power from God, healing, mercy, necessary in all of this. Necessary for the victims. Necessary for those who have gone through the fires of hell, per se. Listen, how you doing tonight? This is Russ Dizdar. This is ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, but this is the Occult Satanic Crimes Training Course. First hour, a lecture or a session on gathering information from God-given sources, and we're going to talk about that. And then the second hour, a friend affected by satanic ritual abuse, that is his mother, satanically ritually abused, a multiple, incredible engagement with his mother in the past and with Brian coming on. So at 8:35 tonight, Brian will be coming on, and we're going to talk about his life as a young man, as a son, watching his mother, personalities, the feeling of evil, demons, rituals, all the rest. He's our special guest at 8:30 tonight. Hey, how's the homework going? Have you been doing your homework? I want to say again, welcome. You are in the Occult Crimes, Satanic Crimes class tonight. How's the sound tonight? Everything okay? Getting able to hear? Glad you're coming into the class. We're just now starting, 2 minutes into it. All right. Well, that's interesting. From the had to get a drink there. From the homework last week, telling you to call churches or even psych wards or whatever else. So interesting. No callbacks. Great. Glad about that. I know that sometimes blog talk folks are having troubles. You got to refresh sometimes. We're going to see what we can do about that in the future, but glad you're here. In the chat room, we're going to call it the classroom. I know a couple hundred of you listen in. That's good. And a few, well, maybe 700, 800, 900 more listen in the archives. Don't forget that the archives are up for you from us the next day. And our audios are better than blog talk, so the archives will go up, and we're going to give you resources and extra things. So check the page out. If you go to ShatterTheDarkness.net, when you hit and click on Occult Crimes Course, that is literally it's www.ShatterTheDarkness.net/SIIU, okay? So that's how you'll eventually get to that. And that course, It'll give you the links to the archives also, and you can check out the archives later on, and we'll tell you more about what's happening with all of it. Glad you're here tonight. Let me tell you something. I sat in front of a victim of satanic ritual abuse years ago. A subpersonality came up and just cried out, wishing somebody would have helped, somebody would have intervened. And, you know, in probably a few hundred of the cases, that's the big issue. Where was somebody? Why didn't anybody notice? You see, when they're being victimized with the mind control, the splitting, the demonization, the fear, the punishments, and all the rest, they are really not able to tell. When they're going to grade school or they're being taken to some traditional mainline, old, powerless church, you know, system, to make it look good, to make it look like they're raised normally, they're not. That's what Joan Baez's song about, You Don't Have to Play It Backwards, is all about. Being raised in one way to look like a picture postcard, but the reality is, behind the scenes, all the violence, all of the bloodshed, all of the Satanism, all of the dark stuff, it was really there all along. And that's the sad part that has gone on with so many. Well, tonight as we get into this, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for all of you coming in for the entire show tonight and for our classroom tonight, asking that God will bless and strengthen. In Jesus' name, we ask for the Lord Jesus to destroy all the demonic interference, anything else. In Jesus' name, destroy just Satan's chains and where anyone is bound. And Father, bring exposure and stretch out your hands to strengthen and call believers into the work of the mission of God. And with a focus, a kind of a Macedonian call, kind of a call to go to the underground and help out there. Some of you are here to learn about all of it, and some are here because you want to get involved, and I'm really, really glad of that. So, we're going to keep the Black Awakening 30 hours, I think altogether 24 direct hours of stuff. By the way, we have that up there, and we want you to know that along with this course, there's a whole bunch of hours, like Satanism 101, the exposure. There's 20-some hours there. The Black Awakening, how do they split? How do they do this? I got 24 hours up there on the lectures. Please, that's part of this course. And I hope that by now, the fifth week, you're going through those. You're listening. You're learning. The books that we've mentioned, let me say again, books are good in the sense of research, but the scripture is your guide. The scripture is your grid. The scripture is the authority. And some books that we mention are only mentioned so that you will read. And again, look at it as a resource. We've read so much, hundreds and hundreds of volumes here to my left, and even more that we've ordered, and some sitting here in front of me that I haven't even got to. More and more victims of satanic ritual abuse and the underground are coming out, sharing more and more of their own story. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Well, again, we're glad that you're here tonight. Welcome to the training class. We are on page 55. If you have the workbook, okay, you don't have to have it, but it is a tool. And if you write in it, if you mark down the scripture verses and the things that I comment on and other resources, that workbook, though seeming very simple, will become a treasure trove of resources and what God is speaking to you and what scripture God is giving you along the way also. So I hope that you're getting a hold of some of that too. Once again, glad you're here. Prayers. You put the prayers up too, as we've asked you to do prior to the shows, and be praying all over things. Page 55, gathering information from God-given sources. Part two of this tonight on the first hour, gathering information from community sources. We'll do a little bit on that. So the first hour, about three pages, and then the second hour, Brian's coming on that we're going to engage with questions, and then you can put up some questions in the chat room. Then we're going to go into the last hour of questions and answers with me and homework assignments, and I'm going to ask you if you've anybody's seen the movie Bless the Child, and I think that there's some elements there that are very similar to the actual occurrences of satanic ritual abuse. So if you have the workbook, if not, have a piece of paper. We are on page 55 under point A. Point A, gathering information. And by the way, because I cannot, some people ask me to repeat it. I cannot repeat numerous times, but you can go to the archives later. You can get the immediate archives from Blog Talk immediately after the show, or the next day off of the Shadow of the Darkness SIIU page. You can get that there of the archives the next day, and other resources. And by the way, when we have someone call in the second hour, we have to put up the Blog Talk recording, and it's usually 1 hour in. So if you're going to listen like last week to Holly Hector, you got to just move it forward the second hour to 60 minutes in. And you can then begin to hear the story. And Holly Hector, I hope, will be on again. Maybe she's listening tonight. But she's been on the field for many, many, many years, all the way back to the end of the 80s, working with Richly Abused. And we hope to have a number of people like that. Now, Tom Dunn took us down to Mansfield, Ohio, to engage someone that may have been involved in some kind of mind control issues and whatever. And so we engaged that individual, again, because of salvation, healing, deliverance. We were taken to the Mansfield Old Reformatory, the old prison. Shawshank Redemption was the movie was played out there. Very dark, definitely dark spirits. Ghost hunters are there all the time looking for entities. But in that region, a Presbyterian church went through satanic ritual abuse with kids, and they never really nailed it down. So we're going to take a look back into that cold case. Cold cases still have victims. You know, 20 years later, 10 years later, there's still victims out there. Even in the McMartin case, the victims from that, the child victims today, are still holding to their story about what occurred. They just weren't able to nail it down on a legal basis back then. Glad you're here. Welcome everybody in. And let's take a look on page 55, gathering information 1 through 14. We're going to go through 1 through 14 on page 55. And listen, these are vital things that I'm giving you right now, because if you are going to get involved, okay, and if you're going to, you know, go and by the way, let me ask in the classroom here, chat room, how many called either a psych ward or a church or called somewhere last week to ask if they know about satanic ritual abuse or if they work with multiple personality disorder? And by the way, that movie that I told you, again, just a research movie, and you got to look at it as that, because, again, it's not a edifying movie, but the movie Bless the Child, you can go to Amazon and get a used copy for a few bucks. You can get a used copy from Amazon for a few bucks. Your local video store should have it also. But I'm looking right now in the classroom. They did make, some of you made calls. Some of you didn't get a response at all. Okay. Again, my encouragement to you, just prayerfully call the psych ward and counseling centers and maybe even a psychologist. Look in the phone book and just make some random calls and say, hey, I'm calling to see if you work with individuals who have multiple personality disorder or DID. See what they have to say, and then, you know, ask some more questions. Ask them if they deal with satanic ritual abuse and do they know about it, and just see what they give you. That'd be very interesting. Well, 14 points under this gathering information, very important. Point number one, very important. Nail it down, please. Really nail this down. Reliable individuals, a reliable source. And ultimately, I'm going to say, you know, God will give you people. God will send you people. God will use victims. God will, you will meet pastors and law enforcement and counselors and down in Newark, Ohio, when we were praying and praying and praying and searching for the underground stuff down there, you know who we met? We met a military guy, retired now, but used to be on submarines. He was on the streets right in the center of town. We just happened, Tom Dunn happened to stop and start talking to him. Sure enough, he knew about satanic crime cases, about rituals, about where they were done, gave a bunch of stories. Some of those reap trips that we go on when we engage folks, it's incredible. Again, the providential, you know, connections. So the bottom line, though, is you want a reliable source. And that includes people that are believers that say they had a dream or a vision or God told them or God showed them. The bottom line is you do want reliable sources, and that's going to be vital throughout all the rest of the points, the concept of reliable. I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 2. Here's what it says. So I called in Uriah the priest and Zechariah son of Jeberechiah as reliable witnesses for me, as reliable witnesses for me. That's important. That's very important. I read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, the idea trustworthy. I read Hebrews 2:2, since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable. That's vital when we look at this in Psalms. The psalm writer says, Lord, your testimonies are completely reliable. So I want to press the point of, and anybody that works in law enforcement with CIs and others, you know you need individuals that are reliable. And that's a vital issue, that we have reliable individuals that can help out and speak the truth and tell you things. You will have, and we dealt with this last week, sub-personalities that will be reliable. You will have sub-personalities that may give disinformation. They may be cult loyal. They may be connected to handlers who are giving them information, trying to lead you out and set you up. So it's important that you understand the whole picture. And like I've got individuals say, come to this city, come to that city, meet the victim. And I'll ask the question, well, is the victim, they're SRA? Yes. They have multiple persons, alter personalities inside. Yes. Well, then you've got to understand, if they know you're coming to a city or they're coming down, guess what? Then the sub-personalities know, and the sub-personalities that are still programmed and still cult loyal or committed to their handlers, they're going to call them. The other side's going to know more about you than you know about it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. God knows more about them than they could ever know about anything. That's the advantage you have as a believer. We're going to give you some scripture on that pretty soon. But reliable is a big issue, because when you're given disinformation and frustrating information and information that leads you off track, some of that's meant to frustrate you, stop you, waste your time, get you away from the truth. And so it's important when you think in terms of being absolutely reliable. So let me tell you clearly concerning sound. Only one person is saying sound is gone tonight. Everybody else is listening. Glad you're here. Keep trying. And sorry that does occur sometimes. Point number one, reliable sources, whether it's psychologists, law enforcement, individuals, victims. When you get down to sub-personalities, by the way, doing deliverance, demonic, demons will speak. And you command them. And they might try to give information. They might try to say things. They're always going to lie. You command them and so forth, order them as the Lord leads you to. But bottom line, get them out of there. Don't rely on demonically given information. Cult personalities that are turning to Christ, are sub-personalities, when they're turning, when they show themselves reliable. So I'm going to tell you again, notice I'm stressing reliable sources. That's going to be vital. Number two, remember the story in the book of Daniel chapter 2. Remember how God invaded the... Now, this is a demon-worshipping king. God invaded him in a dream and brought trouble to him. He was disturbed, and the king called all of his enchanters and all of the sorcerers and all the occultists of the day to come in and help him. And guess what? He didn't get any help, right? Because it was God that intervened. God gave that, and occult sources couldn't penetrate. But here's what occurs. You know the story in chapter 2 of Daniel. And how they went to prayer and really sought the Lord, and then God revealed the mystery. Now I'm going to read to you out of Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Now I'm one that believes that God can give visions and dreams and engage and so forth. A vision or a dream is communication in pictorial form. A vision or a dream is communication in a pictorial form. If it comes from God, it will jive completely with the Word of God, the character of God, the will of God, the felt presence of God. So that's important. And we can find in the book of Acts, dreams and visions are given. And God intervenes and God leads and God guides and so forth. And God reveals things. Charismatic giftings like a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom and the gift of discernment. Well, these are things to rely upon, but make sure because the other side has counterfeits. Counterfeit giftings, counterfeit visions, counterfeit dreams, number one, will not usually jive with the Word of God or with the character of God. You'll know there's a check. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you know there's something wrong. You don't want to be misled by a false vision, false dream, false supernatural guidance by even the victim. Even the victim. You need to be very discerning. Wise as a serpent, meek as a dove, as Jesus said. But in Daniel chapter 2, he says this. During the night, the mystery was revealed. And all of us need to be praying about, you know, the underground and victims and what, you know, God show us how to help heal them quicker, see them healed quicker and delivered and restored and so forth. There's so much secrecy, so much programming, so much hiddenness to all of this. But I love this. Verse 19, chapter 2, Daniel. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." Look at verse 22. "He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him." Daniel says, "I thank and praise you, O God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Now, this is important for us in the very beginnings. You really need to know and walk with the Lord and listen to God. And you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and all that God's going to show. It's vital that you do, and I really want to give you Daniel's recorded prayer and praise in Daniel chapter 2, verses 9, well, actually verses 20 on down. And specifically verse 22, hang on to that, memorize that. I hope that you realize that memorizing Scripture isn't something just for Sunday school kids from a long ago. You're talking about the Word of God, the living, active Word of God. So verse 22 says that God, He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. That's why you're going to pursue the Lord, seek the Lord in the midst of you know, everything that's going on, because the dark side and the deeper you get into their realm of dealing with pulling people out, a lot of deception over there. A lot of the programming is purposeful disinformation and deception. And so you're going to need to seek the Lord, pray and seek the Lord. He knows all of it and knows how to keep you protected and bring you reliable, you know, insight and help. And that may come direct by a vision, by a dream, by a charismatic word, by somebody saying, "The Holy Spirit said." Now, I'm going to give you some, again, some guiding points on this because I think it's important. Point number three, I mentioned the book of Acts chapter 5. The book of Acts, specifically chapter 5, why do I do that? When you read Acts chapter 5, here's what happens. You have Ananias and Sapphira. When you study it carefully, you're going to find out that they agreed together, the Greek words meaning they agreed together to test, the Greek word meaning to pull the wool over the eyes of the church. I mean, they were agreeing to lie. They were agreeing to see if they can pull the wool over the eyes of the church. They were agreeing, in the context of that agreeing, Satan was guiding them. Satan was really guiding them. We know that by the engagement Peter has with them by saying, you know, "Why have you let Satan so fill your hearts?" Now, you know the story how they're trying to, you know, lie and get in and agree and conspire and test the strength of the church. Peter is standing there, now clothed with the Spirit of God, and now with the Holy Spirit, and it may have been a word of knowledge, it may have been the gift of discernment, but as Ananias and Sapphira try to get in, guess what happens? Peter engages them, he's able to perceive and see and get information from God that it's Satan himself that has entered them. The word filled, he has got into them, just like Judas. Satan wanted to get in. Satan wanted to bring corruption. Satan wanted to bring disruption, and he's all about disinformation, disruption, the masquerade, but yet look what happens. In Acts chapter 5, the Spirit of God, whether word of knowledge or discernment or just the Holy Spirit telling him, he knew exactly. He stopped Satan at the door, per se, by Holy Spirit given insight. Superior, remember 1 John 4? Greater is the one in you in comparison to the one that's in the world. So remember again that God's power is great. God's power is vastly superior. The Holy Spirit of God inside of you. But you got to be listening. And you got to, you know, really listen and learn. But Acts 5 shows that God broke in and by the Holy Spirit enabled Peter to know so that Satan's work of infiltrating would have been thwarted. And it was. That was an act of spiritual warfare right in the context of the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, I mean, look at the judgment. It fell. They died right on the spot. That was incredible. The deeper you go into this kind of warfare, the more, you know, drastic things can be. So as we rely upon the Lord, he can act and involve himself in this. Now I'm going to give you another verse. This is point number 4 on your notes, page 55. And I just simply have God knows. What does he know? God knows. We know in theology, you know, the omniscience of God, omnipresence of God. Well, let me give you what the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Mark down Hebrews 4, verse 13. Incredible insight here, okay? I count on this all the time. Hebrews 4, 13 says this, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Again, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, saying that, you could mark down Psalm 139. You could mark down about how, you know, wherever you go, I mean, God's already there. Before you can even speak a word, God already knows before it comes to your mouth to speak it what you're going to say. You know, God is so far advanced. He's so far ahead of everybody on an infinite level, and he's way ahead of the devil. But the truth is, we're not. We need to rely on the Lord. Now, we have authority. We have the armor of God. We have the sense that we're to be aware of everything, and we're to be alert, right? But seeking the Lord and knowing that we need him to intervene. So regardless of when you're working with individuals coming out of Satanism, the dark side, and all this, nothing is hidden from his sight. He knows exactly where the rituals are. He knows what happened in history. History doesn't cover it up. You know, if God knows exactly what began, you know, what was going on at Wadelsburg Castle in Germany with the Nazis in the Hall of the Dead. He knows exactly what the U.S. military and the Russian military and the Brits all took in. And the mind control projects and Monarch and MKUltra and the splitting and the programming. He knows all of that. And he knows the underground's agenda. He knows Satan's agenda. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there, you know, do you think that Satan can hide anything from God? Do you think God, I mean, really, can Satan hide anything from God? He can hide it from us. He can hide it from us. I think that's important to understand. Satan can, you know, he works secretively on a world scale. Mark down 2 Thessalonians 2. We read the mystery of iniquity, or English translation says the secret power of lawlessness. Okay. Well, it's the Greek word, mysterium. It's a reference to the whole collective work of the fallen angels and demons and Satan, that whole satanic system. That is, their power, their secrecy, their hiddenness is already operative. It's operative in a global sense. It's working in all fronts, working in the politics, working in the government, working in the military, but building. And that's why I want to say again, satanic ritual abuse is not just that. That's part of the process of creating servants that will serve Satan in the future Antichrist. That's what it's all about. And it's all about transmuting, controlling, enabling, and then demonizing. And of course, the goal that he has is to use them. And no question he did in the young parts of their life. So, but God knows nothing in all creation, that's point four, nothing in all creation, nothing that Satan does, nothing that he's plotting, nothing that he's going to, you know, it can be found out. That's why praying over cities and praying over areas and going out, listening to the Lord, praying over areas and you seek the Lord as Daniel did, God's going to bring and reveal mysteries. He's going to reveal things, show things. That's vital. Now to add to this, point number five, remember Ezekiel 8. Please never forget Ezekiel 8. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is again the backdrop to the first 5 points, or the first 4 points. Ezekiel, being a great prophet, did not know about the hidden satanic Luciferic coven meeting deep down in the cavern. Underground, basically. And look what had to happen. I mean, God is the one that leads the prophet. This tells me, when I read Ezekiel 8, here's what it tells me. God knew that it was going on. God wanted it exposed. God went over to get one of his servants to draw him into seeing it. And Ezekiel was willing. I think a lot of you that are in the classroom, many of you that are listening by the archives and later on, are going to be willing. You're going to be willing because of the Lord Jesus is present, because Joshua 1:9, God has commanded us not to be terrified, not to be discouraged, to be strong, to be courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I'm going to tell you right now, and maybe you have a background in psychology, a background in law enforcement, whatever else. One law enforcement guy, and talking about it all, just patted his gun on the side of his body and said, this will protect me. He's dead and gone. He's no longer in the battle. And I tried to explain to him spiritual warfare. One detective locally did something very similar when he said, well, I've got this gun. Okay, but you don't have spiritual insight. You don't know how to crack into this. You cannot crack into and investigate this on the normal means. You're going to need supernatural help. Ezekiel 8, in order to find the group, which would have included baby sacrifice, blood sacrifice, extraordinarily evil things. Guess what? In Ezekiel 8, the servant of God was willing, step by step by step, he took him in. Showed him some detestable things, showed him more. Now here's the point in Ezekiel 8, don't forget this. He took Ezekiel, a willing servant, all the way into some of the most ugly, underground, satanic, dark stuff, and exposed and showed and revealed, and he led Ezekiel all the way to the faces of the primary perpetrators. Did you hear what I just said? He actually led this servant of God, Ezekiel, all the way to the faces of the primary perpetrators, to the elites that were behind it all. And I believe, and mark my words on this, I'm giving you just a human insight. This is my human insight. By everything I know and by my sense of feeling of what God is going to be doing, I believe major, major exposure all the way to the faces of the perpetrators is going to happen. Okay? Because the perpetrators in Ezekiel 8, they were living by day. They were doubling like the Nazis did, doubling. By day, they were in the marketplaces. They were in the leadership. They were in all the other places. By day, they had one mask on, living that life. By night, everything was altered. They were completely somebody else. They worshiped the dark side. They were engaged in blood sacrifice. And they're playing two lives. And that's what happens with people today in this underground. They live one life. They're in the community. And I'm going to tell you right now, truly, it's not because of the fall of the church. They're in the church purposely. They're in the government. They're in the military. They're in law enforcement purposely. That's part of the plot. That's part of the biblical picture of Satan embedding his system, the shadow system, until Revelation 13, when it is going to rise out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere, but it pre-exists. So he's got to build that. And that's what's happening. And that's what God has done to give us insight in 2 Thessalonians 2 or in Revelation 12 and 13. Now, in number 5, remember Ezekiel, God took him all the way, and it was going to be ultimately for the exposure. And notice this, it's in the scripture. It's a Bible revelation in scripture. God wanted us to know about it because what was revealed back then, what was that, 2,600 years ago? Is the same dark operating agenda that's in your city, that's hidden within your city. And I don't care if you're from the UK or Ireland or Canada or Australia or United States or even from Russia, you're listening, or Berlin, you know, in Germany, you know this is true in the Vatican. I guarantee you they are there and have been operative. And this is why I say this. If in your city you find one satanic, ritually abused, multiple personality person that is, you know, born and bred there, lives there, the guarantee is there's many other victims. The guarantee is that, you know, if they're in their 50s, that means for at least 50 years, the kind of coven that can split and program and demonize the transgenerational, just like in Ezekiel, it's in your city. And some of its leaders may be in the churches, in the law enforcement, in the town leader hall, and other places, doctors, whatever else. Now, don't get evil suspicion. We're told and warned against this in the book of, you know, in the pastoral epistles. We're told not to have evil suspicion, but discerning, wise as a serpent, meek as a dove. Okay? Reliable sources means that you get accurate information. Because if you get wrong information constantly given to you, and some of the dark side and their handlers purposely want to give you false information to make you look like a dodo, a nut, right? So that everybody thinks you're a nut. You don't want to take in disinformation and other stuff that has no verification and it's been purposely given for disinformation only to make you ultimately, you know, waste your time and look like a nut down the road. Ezekiel, when what God had to show him there was really there. The proof was in the pudding. Okay? And God broke through a supernatural hole. God was cutting through the dark powers in order to show Ezekiel what was going on. And you're going to need to pray that God breaks in and that God leads you and that God slices in to that dark side in order to bring exposure. Point number 6. Are you ready? You doing all right? Point number 6. Acts chapter 8, matter of fact, Acts chapter 8. And I have down number 6, the Holy Spirit. You hear all the New Agers and psychics, they talk about having spirit guides, you know, masquerading demons. Well, the truth is this, as a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit as guide, teacher, inspiring you, leading you, directing you, and so forth. Here's what I like about Acts chapter 8. Philip is on the field. He's out witnessing. He's out. He's in action. He's doing the stuff. He's doing the work. Holy Spirit's guiding him. Look how he quotes. Look how he actually quotes. He says, the Holy Spirit said, go over there and stand by that chariot. go over there and stand by that chariot. And look what happened. He led that guy to Christ. Baptized that guy. Man, that's the kind of leading you want. The Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you. There's times that you'll be able to quote what the Holy Spirit said. There's times I felt the Holy Spirit said, don't go in there. And we didn't. There was danger. You read later in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit would not, like Paul and his team, the Holy Spirit would not let them go to Mysia. He would not let them enter Bithynia. The Spirit of Jesus kept them from going. So there's times the Holy Spirit will say, don't go in there, or don't go down there, or not now. Sometimes he doesn't want you to go one direction because he has like a Macedonian call, somewhere else to lead you that is more, you know, needed at that moment. But I want you to be able to realize as a believer, when you're out there as a soul winner and, you know, you're out there witnessing and you're wanting to win others, you can expect the Spirit of God to guide you in your prayer life, in working with victims, in investigation, in intervention. I'm telling you now, the Spirit of God will at times say, you know, go over that part of the city. Sometimes that's all it is. In evangelism, sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, go over. I get a sense, go over there by that 7-Eleven shop. I get over there and I start witnessing to the guy outside. You can trust the Holy Spirit to lead you in evangelism, to lead you to people that need Him, need Christ. But you can also trust the Holy Spirit to guide you, to speak to you as you're interviewing and dealing with and talking to and counseling a victim of satanic ritual abuse, as you're talking to altar personalities, as you're engaging and asking questions, relying constantly on the Holy Spirit to tell you, to lead you. The Holy Spirit will never go against Scripture, never against the character of Christ, never against the will of God. The Holy Spirit will always speak in complete harmony. Okay? Number seven, a quickened word of Scripture. What do I mean? A quickened word of Scripture. What do I mean? I mean this. I mean, there's times that I'm working with somebody, times that I'm praying, and all of a sudden, instead of me just looking into a Scripture, the Holy Spirit brings me something. The Holy Spirit brings me a verse. I'm praying over something, the Holy Spirit picks a Scripture and reminds me. And just that quick can give you a verse. That quick can give you a word. Rely on that. I mean, all of Scripture you rely on. All of Scripture is alive. All of Scripture is powerful. But there's times the Holy Spirit says, here is a verse, a specific verse for a specific occasion, for a specific purpose that you need right now. Okay? So a quickened word, a word, a Scripture that not that you picked out so much, but that the Holy Spirit brings to you. By the way, if you're going and living your life out on a week and maybe Sunday you heard a word of Scripture, maybe somebody you heard on the radio, maybe somebody else brings it up, maybe you heard it, you know, in your prayer time. You know, if God reminds you of a verse 4 or 5 times in a week, pretty much He's trying to get your attention, don't you think? I think that's tremendous, okay? Number 8, a warning, okay? Now, in Acts chapter 13, the leaders got together praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, you know, Saul and Paul and Barnabas for the work, okay? Once again. Or later on, as they're out there, there was a moment in which the Holy Spirit would not let them go into Mysia, wouldn't let them go to a certain area. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a warning. Now, I'll tell you how explicit this can be. I'm on page 55, point 8. A warning from God, from the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, who's on you. You're supposed to be clothed. I've got clothes on right now, but I have clothing of the Spirit of God. He, the Holy Spirit, teacher, guide, empowerer, revealer of Christ, but He guides. He knows everything. He's God. So he already knows what's going on. So here I'm in this federal officer's home. You know, some of you know the story. I wrote it in the book. It's all kind of volatile, and this person's getting triggered. Phone calls are coming in to trigger her to run out to the Coven group. And we stopped her again and again. Finally, she looks at me and says, can you come to the other room and talk? I walk into the other room. She switches personalities to a personality named Iris. Cold, steel, dark, demonized, programmed-looking eyes. Coming closer and closer to me, to where I had to back her away once, and she said, "What's the matter? Are you afraid of a little..." Because she was probably 98 pounds, little blonde, 40-year-old, 42-year-old woman. Instantly, the Holy Spirit said, as she began to move, instantly the Holy Spirit says, she's going to stab you. What, you know, it's like so quick was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. She pulled out a 6-7 inch long, thick needle in which she tried to inject, you know, she tried to ram it into my chest. And because the Spirit of God said, you know, instantly she's going to try to stab you, I'm telling you exactly how it occurred. And the Spirit of God preserved me. If I would not have had that warning, I don't know whether I would have been quick. Because you got a demonized program personality that's pretty fast. And so in this work, there's going to be times when you get a real warning from the Lord, even if it's a quick, immediate thing, turn, you know, you're out looking and turn down that road, or don't go this way, or, you know, take heed. Right. Let's look at point nine, a burden. Now, I trust that in this course, and by many hundreds of you listening by the archives, that God's going to put a burden. Some of you that have written to me and you've said in the classrooms here that you are ready and you wanting to go, and praise God. And there's times we all know that we're to be under the Lordship of Christ, we're to be serving, and we're to be out doing the will of God, winning souls and so forth. And there's times, though, that there'll be a specific, like a Macedonian call, like a specific burden even. I mean, to go after, you know, and so, there, you know, many of you maybe get a sense of targeting victims of the underground. Targeting, I mean, we're including in our targeting now any victims of human trafficking. To where God is just putting into you his desire, his emotion, his love for a particular targeted group. And so you might get that. Maybe you've had it for youth. Maybe you've had it for others. And people get a burden from the Lord to go minister to a particular people. Sometimes it's individual. You go minister somebody. You get burdened for somebody. You go over there and minister to them. Good. Sometimes it's a burden for a group. I've had that for years and years and years. So the burden concerning underground satanic ritual abuse and human trafficking are really connected anyway. And they both go through the same kind of torturous slavery and terrible. So with that burden, you grab hold. I love what it says. And now think this through, and maybe look it up, Philippians chapter 3, when he says, "I take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." If God grabs you and takes hold of you with a burden to go after the underground like this, you take hold of him. You take hold of him and say, "God, if you're calling me to go this way, I'm going to trust you for your power, your grace, your might. I'm going." Just like Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And to this day, I keep learning more. To this day, I keep wanting more. To this day, I still want him to, you know, intervene in the most miraculous of ways. So I don't care if you're starting and it's your first day, or if it's your 10th year or 20th year. You know, just keep trusting the Lord and going in and keep that burden, keep grabbing hold of the burden God put, and keep grabbing hold of what God grabbed you for. When God grabbed a hold of Ezekiel to go into that underground, he went. And that's part of the issue. And you might wake up in the middle of the night and have burdens for people in prayer, things like that. Many prayer intercessors do. But also a consistent burden where you're going after a particular group of people again and again. They need not just an overnight flash in the pan thing. They need faithful people who will fight for them in prayer and come looking for them. Number 10, up all night. Up all night. I mean, up all night. Listen, you're going to have to give up some of your nights because you might get a call from a victim and have to go pick them up. You may be eventually, as you go into this training course down the road, we're going to teach you how to build teams. You may have to go into, you know, because a lot of the rituals you got to remember are done late at night. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we're out there from 10 o'clock till 4 in the morning. And it's tired. You know, you can be tired and sleepy. And then we had to learn, you know, we just learn along the way, get a little sleep, maybe get, you know, take a little nap prior to going or something. Coffee, you know, drink, whatever else. But the bottom line is, you know, you want to get down there and you want to help individuals. So you're going to have to give up some of the nights. And the night is when there's times you wake up in the middle of the night and God speaks to you in the middle of the night and you wake up there thinking about it, and that's when burdens come and God's called to pray for somebody. While most people are sleeping between 11 o'clock when they're gathering and 12 to 3, primarily 12 to 3, rituals are going on. And you know what's going to happen here next week. Rituals are going on all next week. And then it's the culmination is going to be wool purchase is coming up, human sacrifice, sexual rituals. I hope you've already looked up the satanic calendar. You can get that online. And we're going to be in strategic places when it comes to the rest of this month. Really. I'm going to go for 4 days. We're going to be out west in some underground, major SIIU type of stuff out west for 4 days, almost 5 days. When I come back next week on the 29th, and then next Tuesday night, the 30th, guess what? The 30th, doesn't that have something to do with Hitler? Doesn't that have something with the shooters and bombers and killers? On the third, Walpurgis night coming up, are you kidding me? See, 99% of the people don't know, but the undergrounders know this. I mean, traditional Satanists and others that seek energies and powers, they all know the concept of, it's a major area. It's a major times the demons are gathering and major time rituals are going to go on, human sacrifice. And you might want to, for 2 or 3 days, say, you know what, I'm going to be praying for exposure. I'm going to be praying for God to intervene like he did with Peter. Send an angel to get the victims out supernaturally. That's right. That's what I believe. Just like in the book of Acts, God can act. How did Peter get out of those chains? How did iron barred gates open all by themselves? Right? So, you're going to really have to trust the Lord, and you're going to be up sometimes at night. And there's, you know, we choose now some of our guys to gather together. And by God's grace, we have this new backwoods vehicle. That means we've been backwoods. We've been to, you know, edges of ritual sites. We've been to places where we pray against stuff and target areas. And we go out looking at the old ritual areas and we go out praying over a city. And so we're out there during these major nights. This is a great time to have prayer teams that will target rituals in a city, target Satanists in a city, and pray, God, if there are any victims that they're hiding in cages, any victims that they're hiding out, they're going to use for Walpurgis night. God, we're going to ask you to, you know, intervene with supernatural, you know, just like the book of Acts, even if it's an angel that goes in. I'm going to tell you that we believe this so much, there's times we believe that while we're out there, you know, that we actually will run into a victim. I have no doubt someday we're going to be in some areas where somebody's come running out of the woods that is getting away. Sure enough. If you will be there and be ready to be used, if you will pursue the Lord, if you'll seek those who need, you ever read, there's just so many verses, but there's a verse in Proverbs 31:8 when we're told, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all. Well, literally, here's what it, English. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. That word destitute meaning crushed. They're in destruction. They're disposed. They're bound. They're slaves. So literally, there's millions across the board, across the nation, in human trafficking and in satanic ritual abuse human trafficking that are all over the place. And the nights of the big rituals is where they're going to be doing stuff. And we need to be out there, and we need to be up during the night. We need to be plotting and planning prayer groups that can pray from, you know, 11 o'clock until 2 in the morning or whatever. Or be out in a car with two or three others doing this. Number 11, prayer and more prayer. Can't say much more than that, right? James chapter 5, the prayers of a righteous believer, powerful and effective. Astounding things happen. How did Peter, an angel of God goes and breaks open his chains, blinds the guards, opens the iron gates, right there in the book of Acts. Little prayer group at Rhoda's house praying and praying for Peter. They targeted Peter. They're praying for Peter. God sends help. They didn't even know it until Peter showed up. Could you imagine a person that God releases in answer to your prayer shows up at your doorstep or at your church the next week and says, this is what happened. God came in and God opened the door and I got out of there and I felt led to come to your church. I'm going to tell you, you will have occurrences like that. Prayer and more prayer, James 5, the prayers of the righteous believer. Powerful, effective. At times I think God can even cause an earthquake to break open jail doors. In answer to prayer, number 12 on that page 55, providence. Romans 8:28. I hear everybody talking today about New Age and psychic synchronicity. I call it satanic synchronicity. Satan is working in a coordinated way. He's doing things to set people up. But God, providentially, he knows how to work for the good. God is working for the good. He's working for the salvation of people. He's working for the deliverance of people. Part of the problem is when he has no one to send. In Isaiah's day, this entire engagement in Isaiah 6 was getting Isaiah to come to the point, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Okay? And there's astounding the way God will set things up as you keep working and working and praying and going after the victims and praying. Providentially, God breaks doors open. God leads you. We have found ritual sites. We have found victims. We have been, so many things along the years. Point 13. This 1 hour is going quick, okay? Point 13. By the way, if you have any quick, we have 3 minutes right now. If you have any quick questions right now, put a cue in the chat room, classroom, and then we'll try to see if we can do that, okay? 13 miracles, just put down the book of Acts, okay? The book of Acts. And that's vital. The book of Acts is the picture. I call it the field manual for the end of days. What you see God do there among active, obedient, mission-oriented believers, he does today. He does today. Astounding things. Or mark down Hebrews 11. When you read through the things they've done by faith, they believed God, they stepped out, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice. Please, big things can be done. Revivals can still strike. God can still save thousands. And God can lead you to the crying out. So many of the victims, they've given up. And victims that are in this course or listening later, you write me a letter. You know that's true. When you were a child, when you were locked away, when you were in cages, when you were the programming, the fear, the punishment, and all the rest. So many of you even given up trying. Because they don't believe anybody's going to come for them. God now has called many, and it's time to go. Question comes into the classroom here. All these victims, if they do not get help and die, what happens to them? Well, in many cases, I believe victims have cried out to Jesus and turned to him, like the thief on the cross. That's how quickly salvation can occur. And that salvation, Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So I have met so many victims that said they cried out to Jesus when they were younger and he came to them and helped them. But they still needed to get out of the programming and the people that were, like in the persecuted churches around the world where believers are put in prison. Peter was in prison. He needed to get out. But if they turn to Jesus, I really believe that they will get deliverance and get and just like the thief on the cross, the salvation. The last thing, spiritual warfare, always on the field. When you're in this kind of stuff, there's going to be battle, and you will have stuff come. I agree. But be preemptive. That's what we're teaching you. Awareness, alert, authority, armor, action. And you stay that way, and guess what? You're going to find out that you're shielded more. And when you have more people working with you, teams, two are better than one. And I love having teams out there because we're all covering an umbrella, like an umbrella. We're covering each other in prayer. Let me see here. Who was the prophetic teacher you referred to when discussing the bombing of who was part of the Illuminati? I'm not sure. I want to make sure I'm not listening to that person. Boy, I'm not sure what you're meaning here. Who was the prophetic teacher referred to when discussing the bombing? Who was part of the Illuminati? Put something else in there because I'm not sure what you're referring to right there. Okay? Interesting. Oh, if you mean... Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to, so I can't answer that. By the way, we are a couple minutes past. We need to take a short break here because in 3 minutes, Brian is going to come on, and we're dealing with, again, a victim of the abuse, So please get ready. 3 minute break, and we'll be back, and I'll be bringing Brian on for an interview. And then we have more pages after that. So much to do tonight, so little time. Keep up the prayers. 3 minutes. We'll be right back.